Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor and ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. This is Tech to Go, a monthly fast-paced roundtable discussion with executive editor Darren Root and regular columnists of the CPA Technology Advisor. These thought leaders tackle current technology issues impacting the tax and accounting profession.
Hi, this is Darren Root, executive editor of the CPA Technology Advisor, and you are listening to episode 39 of Tech to Go. First, I would like to thank our corporate sponsor, ADP, for today's podcast. I'm with only one guest today. Randy Johnston couldn't join us today, nor Dave McClure. So it's Rene Lacerte, the CEO and the person who founded Bill.com. So welcome today, Rene.
Great to be here, Darren. Always fun having these conversations.
Absolutely. Well, Rene, we were just talking before we got started here that we want to kind of talk about Google and what's going on with Google and how what impact Google may have on accounting firms and small businesses based on the strategy sort of that you see. You're fairly close to them out there and use some of their products. So kind of tell me what you see is happening with Google right now.
Well, the big thing that Google's been doing in the business space is their apps. Google Apps. I don't know if folks are familiar with that phrase, but you know the most common and most prevalent application that they have in Google Apps is email. So Gmail is the term they use for that. Businesses are moving to Gmail. They have it's hard to know exactly how many customers, but they say they have millions of customers that are using their apps. And as one example, our business switched our mail service over to Gmail. And it gives people the benefit of having everything in the cloud and automatic backup and a lot easier IT support. But the thing that's interesting, that's kind of their anchor application. The next application that Google's developed would be Google Documents. So they have documents such as Word, Excel, PowerPoint. These are all things that you can build, in the cloud and actually share, do collaboration, which I think is an important part of the accounting businesses collaborating with fellow employees that are out at the client site or even with your client. So they built those, and the thing they announced last week, which is, I think, quite interesting, is they announced something called a marketplace, a Google Apps marketplace, where any company, Bill.com, for example, will be doing this, can integrate with Google Apps marketplace so that when you log into Google, you'll be single signed on logging into Bill.com, for example. So at this point, what they announced were a number of number of different applications. There's really it's hard to name all of them. Just looking at them on the website, they have 10 in the accounting and finance space today, and there will be more. So I think the thing that's interesting is this will be a very interesting secure way, which will that's the other topic we were going to talk a bit about with security for the non-bank type documents that you might have. And so, this integration, have single sign-on across all of your business applications should be pretty interesting. Have you had a chance to look at that yet, Darren?
I haven't. I'd like to actually, you mentioned several things there. I'd like to kind of maybe attack these one at a time so that we can kind of, our listeners can understand what each of them actually do. I mean, Gmail, I think probably the majority of our listeners are familiar with Gmail because we all have clients and maybe a lot of us have Gmail accounts, and really the thing there is that we can start moving our Exchange servers out of our office and not having those things anymore and just really operate in the cloud and use Gmail as our sole app. Is that right?
Yep. That's exactly what we've done in our office, and it has made a huge difference from an IT support perspective. So just to give you some of the things that they've worked on at Google, they've given folks an Exchange-like support. So if you have people that are on Exchange, you can actually migrate very simply over to that, and then the phone support works very easily. So if you want your smartphone device to be able to have access to email, there's lots of ways to do it. I, for one, use the iPhone, and I have it connected through IMAP because I kind of like the iPhone's application But you know, others in our office just use the browser straight in the iPhone, or they have a BlackBerry and it connects straight into the BlackBerry. So they have thought of all those things, and once you get connected, it's quite nice to have to know that your mail is being backed up, you know, 24/7 and accessible from any internet connection.
Yeah, absolutely. So Gmail seems to be, like you said, it's kind of their one of their flagship programs, but it's definitely gaining a lot of popularity. You know, along with that, you know, you have Google Calendar, obviously. That's another thing. So have you guys adopted Google Calendar as well?
Yep, we've done the calendar, and we've also done the address book, right? So all of the contacts, you know, all of the appointments, everything is up there.
So when you come in the morning, instead of launching Outlook, like a lot of people do, you're probably just logging into your Google account, and you can see your calendar, your email, and your contacts. Is that right?
Yeah. So I actually use multiple ways that I log in. So sometimes if I'm on my computer at home, I actually log in through the browser and do exactly like you said. If I'm on my primary laptop, you know, I do have a slight preference, and it's kind of, you know, one or two features that I like that Google has not yet put into their mail client that I do have on the Apple mail client. So I just have the Apple mail client synced with Google.
Okay.
So and that feature, for example, is very simple, but I like it a lot is the preview pane. So the Google mail does not have the preview pane at this point.
But the concept really is that, you know, you log into the clouds wherever you're at, whether you're at your office or at home, and function in those in that environment versus sort of the traditional Microsoft Outlook sort of model, right?
Yeah, and I think this is where you're going with the question. I didn't take your lead. With all the apps they're putting out there, it is single sign-on. So today, if I go into my browser with the applications that Bill.com is using, I can see my contacts, my calendar, and my email without having to log into different applications, and all of it is secure, right? With the application marketplace, I just said, is, you know, they've acknowledged we can't build all the apps that people might want, but we're going to be able to now pull any app in that from any company that wants to integrate with Google. We'll be able to pull that in so that when you sign into your Google account, you'll be logged into your Bill.com account or your online payroll account from Intuit, or they have expense management, they have you know, FreshBooks is out there for billing. So they have a number of things that you can do, which, you know, could be interesting.
So when you log into your Google account and you have your calendar and your address book and your email there, will you see Google Docs? And you might just explain what's included in Google Docs right now.
Yeah, so Google Docs has the, you know, classic Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, three primary Office packages that Microsoft has kind of gotten onto everybody's desktop. And so their applications are not yet as robust, you know, as what, you know, Microsoft has. But they're, you know, they get better and better all the time. You know, I play with it every year or so. I go and play with it. And, you know, if I wasn't such an analysis geek at heart, you know, I would totally be using Google's, you know, spreadsheets because it is much better for sharing and easier to share. The beauty is, you know, this is, you know, where they're trying, which makes it a lot nicer experience for customers, again, is having this one login so that everything's securely available, whether it's the documents that Google helps you prepare or, you know, like I said, these other applications that are out there for, you know, accounting or whatever. There's lots of applications in the marketplace.
So when you do your single sign-on, you have access to Google Docs at that point, right?
Yep, and any of the other applications that you right. So I haven't.
And,
you know, they just announced this last week to have the non-Google applications, the Google Apps Marketplace just got announced last week. So.
But with the, let's say I want to collaborate with somebody else in my office on a spreadsheet. So I guess I just invite them into that spreadsheet somehow so that they can share and see that particular spreadsheet, maybe in some sort of a common location. Is that the way that works?
And it allows the, you know, basically if you're reviewing the spreadsheet and you make some comments on it, then, you know, obviously the next person that sees it, you know, manages all that. One of the things that is challenging is that, you know, it's quite challenging to get all the synchronization, you know, so that if two people are added at the same time, what happens, that they have figured it out.
You know, so you mentioned the new app marketplace, and I'm not really familiar with that yet. So can you give me some real details to what that really means?
So I'm just browsing the site now as we talk. They have a marketplace. You can go into the marketplace, and you can say, let me just look at the accounting and finance. They also have a document management center. So if I look at the document management, because I know that's something accountants care a lot about, they have the ability now that have you heard of OfficeDrop or Vimeo? These are companies where you can kind of put your documents in the cloud and share them in a secure and stuff like that. All of these docs are available, and they've got 15 applications that would help you with your document management. People will be going there to look at that. If we look at the accounting and finance, I gave you some of the ones that I was familiar with, and that we're working on to build.com to be a part of it. But in the accounting and finance, Intuit Online Payroll is up there. They have some expense reporting up there. Asset maintenance. The only accounting application they have is Yendo, which is from European.
Randy was able to just join us, so Randy, welcome.
Thank you. Sorry for my delay.
Oh, no worry. What we've been talking about, Randy, is Renee and I were just kind of going through sort of what Google's been doing, what their strategy is. We were just talking about their new app marketplace. But we had really kind of talked about this whole idea of Google having Gmail, Calendar, and the Docs and the sort of single sign-on and sort of as a replacement for Microsoft Office and, an Outlook as well. Renee was really starting to explain, the app marketplace and how that integrates. So Renee, I'm still kind of missing something on this app marketplace. So if you log into your Google account, are you going to all of a sudden have a single sign-on that would take you to, let's say you mentioned QuickBooks Online. So would you be in that app or something?
If QuickBooks Online became a part of the marketplace, so they're not right now. So the ones that are out in accounting and finance, there's a number of expense report applications. There is FreshBooks, is an invoicing application.
Yeah.
There is the online payroll from Intuit, which is used to be PayCycle. And so the idea is that, when you log into Google, there would be a link to that application. And when you click on the link, whatever, you would be, right into, there's different levels. One is just doing the single sign-on. The next is you can have some of the look and feel and embed the product into, the show. And so there's different, levels of integration that people have done.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be fairly interesting in the content. To me, what's interesting is to have one place to log in and do all the things you do. I mean, obviously, email, calendaring, and maintain your contacts is something you do. But you also use business productivity applications. And if Google really makes a marketplace available, similar to what iPhone and iTunes has done for, phone apps to go on your phone, it would be quite interesting, I think, for businesses, and especially for accountants, that not have to have 25 different passwords to keep track of in their head.
Right. Randy, I know that you guys, you have some experience in that with Google as well, right?
That's correct. And, in fact, Renee, I think you're spot on this single sign-on experience. And if the apps marketplace plays out as Google is trying to make it do so, there are several categories, as you've already pointed out. But, the example of the FreshBooks product playing in there, and those guys are doing a nice job on what they do. But, you think about Shoeboxed, which we've talked about on prior calls, or Expensify, which I've recommended for a good number of years. Those guys are already all in the marketplace, and in fact, a conference call I had to the UK earlier today was about the integration and control of applications in the Google world as well as in the Microsoft world. So I think this maturity of the single sign-on and the concept for our listeners that I think is so critical is that you can sign on once with proper authority, have your applications running in-house, or have them running in the cloud, or have them be true SaaS applications, Renee, kind of like your bill.com is. It's just one of the other applications that we've got out there.
Yeah, and I think I think for accountants, this is going to be very valuable for them as time goes on. I mean, I was talking, Randy, before you got on, how we moved our mail from an in-house exchange to, you know, the cloud. And I think this is something you talk about all the time in your conversations in education, is you want to get out of the IT support business. You want to get into support, you know, accountants are in business to help people with their accounting problems, not their IT problems, right? I mean, it's the, you're happy to recommend and make recommendations, but do you want to be the person that's telling you, you know, how do you reboot Exchange? I mean, that's not what the accountant wants to be. And these single sign-on apps in the cloud will make that problem go away and people can be more productive.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And you know, that is exactly the position most CPA firms have been in, is, you know, we're not doing that business. We want to help the clients, but this day-to-day support, there's just not any significant dollars or value add for us in that space.
Randy, so how far along do you think this whole process is with Google in particular? And I wanted to contrast that with Microsoft in a minute, but I mean, is it far enough along that accounting firms, practitioners should be taking a look at this and thinking about whether this makes any sense for things in their offices?
Well, I think it is far enough along to look at, because the relationships that Google has built so far are with some pretty solid and interesting products. Now, is it as broad-reaching as I would like? Of course not. But, you know, is it a pretty good early start? Yes. And will more and more vendors choose to participate with their products? I think so. So, you know, depending on the specialty area of the practice, you may find some things that could work in the vertical segment that you're trying to specialize in. And you might find, and again, I'm going to go back and pick on them specifically, you might find that an entry-level invoicing product like FreshBooks will just satisfy your small business clients delightfully compared to maybe what you're trying to accomplish with, let's say, QuickBooks. And, you know, when you look at the other competitors out there like Sage Billing Boss that has that same level of product, you may find that a lot of small businesses, that's all that they need to be able to provide you transactions for write-up purposes.
And I think the thing that's interesting, this is a more technical point, but, you know, we're a development, you know, we build software, and so we talk to anybody else that's building software. And we have looked at, you know, different app stores or app applications, whether it's from Intuit or other companies, and they make it hard. And, you know, we will be up on Google, you know, much faster than we will be up on, you know, any of the others out there, because it's a very simple integration, you know, once it was announced and it was out there. So they will get, my point to your point, Randy, is they will have lots of apps, and, you know, the challenge will be how do you narrow down, you know, the one that's right for you. But they're going to have lots of integration, and, you know, what the benefit for the user is going to be the single sign-on and what they call universal navigation, which is where I was referring to, that, you know, your menu items will include the apps that you use. So you're going to have one place similar to the, you know, I guess, Darren, when we were talking offline, the iGoogle for the consumer, where you can customize your homepage and the news you need and all that type of stuff. You know, with single sign-on, you're going to be able to customize your homepage for your business and all the tools that you use. And I think it's a great strategy. So
it's a pretty interesting one. Guys, Dave McClure actually was able to join us. So welcome, Dave. Can you hear me, Dave?
Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. So welcome. We've been talking about Google, Dave. So let's just continue on this just a second. And so, Randy, you know, a lot of, you know, CCH and Thompson and Intuit, I think, are all heading down the path of, you know, having some sort of online suite of productivity software for accounting firms. You know, so Thompson has their virtual office, and CCH launched all their stuff, and Intuit's working in that direction as well. So, I mean, this, if a firm's going to move this stuff out of their office as opposed to taking and having somebody host Exchange, this, Google's a pretty good option for that type of firm, right?
I think it potentially could be. And see, I believe, Darren, you're right in the thick of it, because if you look at what, you know, Brad's trying to do from an Intuit perspective, or John and Teresa are trying to do from Thomson Reuters' perspective, or, you know, the team with Kevin and so forth are trying to get done at CCH, every one of them are trying to get their applications to be virtualized, browser-based if possible, will support you running it in-house in the transition, But I think the longer-term vision is a lot more of this hosted, browser-enabled type of situation. So if you consider all of the firm practice management stuff is handled that way, and you can get integrations to a sufficient word processor, spreadsheet, and so forth, which we know Google is that way. In fact, that was one of the most interesting new course developments that we did this spring was our new Google Apps course. And so we're showing, you know, the deficiencies in Google Apps as they stand, but also the strengths of where they go. You could run your entire practice out of the cloud, and this week alone, I've had no less than 9 email queries during busy season here about, once busy season's done, I think I'm going to move everything to hosted or in the cloud. Tell me what I can do, and here's my situation. 9 queries this week alone.
That's pretty amazing. You know, I know that Dave continues to have concern about the clouds to a degree, right, Dave?
Well, only to a small degree, actually. I'm working now with Virginia, and we're looking at taking everything to the cloud that we can. We still have privacy concerns. We're going to build in contracts that specify what goes where and who has control of the content. But beyond that, we're going to move to the cloud. It just makes sense if you're not having to maintain all those servers and the associated software and the headaches and so that's No, I'm going to the cloud too.
All right, we got you there. So Randy, you know, I've been doing a lot of research lately, and to my confusion, on what Microsoft is doing in this area, and I'm sure they have a clear strategy, but it's just hard for me to understand quite what it is at this point. You know, I can go out there and I can look, and there's these business. I can't remember all the names, but you know, they have these online services where you can get, you know, Office Communicator, and they'll host Exchange and do all that for you.
Yes.
And then they also have other, you know, you have Windows Live, and you have various forms of Live, and kind of set the stage on what Microsoft's doing in that particular area.
Well, I'll do my best that I can, and I'm happy to disclose to our listeners, I am tonight moving our hosted email, which we've hosted with a company in Canada for more than 10 years, but we're moving our email services tonight to the Microsoft hosted email services. We wanted to do Exchange. We wanted to have access to Dynamics CRM. We wanted to have access to SharePoint and so forth. All that stuff was there. And for businesses of 20 users or less, and particularly for CPA firms, they do not charge for that for the first year, which is an interesting business model to start with. But then the nominal charges are so low after year one, gosh, it makes great sense to move there. So we've been testing it for a month, and the conversion is literally tonight. The whole concept, I believe, is that Microsoft believes that they can scale their hosted Exchange, SharePoint, and other services right now. They believe that they'll be able to move these to their big hosted data centers, which we already know CCH and Intuit have working relationships today in the new Azure-based centers. But I believe what Microsoft would like to do is get themselves in much more of a recurring revenue model using their standard applications. And as we see the release of Office 2010 and the Office web apps for Word and Excel, I think our listeners will be pretty amazed and to a degree appalled at how much they can do for Word and Excel through a browser if they've got the back-end infrastructure right, and Microsoft is going to offer those services as well. So it's pretty clear that Microsoft sees the competitive threat from Google. They see the benefit of the app stores like you've been discussing with Renee from Google or iPhone with Apple and others, that they'd like to play in that particular delivery model as well, and they think they're about ready to do so. So they've been scaling up their offerings over the last year plus, and they did develop at least 6 different online strategies. And the way Microsoft often does these things is they let independent groups try to solve the problem, and then they pick what they believe is the best of the solutions and pull what they can from the other solutions and discontinue the other projects, if you will. And I think they've concluded that Office Live is their strategy.
So you have Office Office Live. Then there's sort of business online services. Is that what you guys are moving to tonight?
Yes, we are going to use the business online services. And, you know, we were pretty amazed at how seamlessly we could convert everything that we were running today from a completely alternate supplier. Now, we're going to continue as in consumers of these products around the country see the Microsoft hosting offered from a lot of vendors besides just Microsoft, because Microsoft proactively promoted their open licensing scheme known as SPLA, which is a high-volume hostable licensing fee, where you can basically get all of Microsoft Office, Word, Excel, Outlook, Exchange, the whole shoot and match for a few dollars a month is really the basis cost on those things. So vendors can build up their infrastructure and offer it and make pretty good money where they can scale it up or scale it down in any given month based on the number of subscription licenses that you're using. So not only is Microsoft doing it, but you'll see a lot of other players too.
Well, I think what would be interesting for all of us that are out, you know, talking to people this year is to try to help, especially you and Renee, Randy, and maybe myself, Dave doesn't get out and hit the same path that we hit with the accounting firms, but kind of laying out, you know, what these different strategies are with Google and Microsoft, because, Randy, if you're getting 9 hits the week of March, whatever it is, 25th or so, from accounting firms thinking about moving to the clouds, you know, this is going to be a big year for that, I think.
It tells me it is, because, you know, I would suspect that these guys are, as you well know, that are in the middle of busy season. Yeah, we're past business tax, but we've probably still got a lot of heavy lifting individual tax work we're doing.
Absolutely.
But that tells me we've either had pain or we see the opportunity coming forward. And let's face it, the real simple message to our listeners for a strategic positioning is, I think the days of having to have all this stuff in-house are beginning to come to a close, and that it is a viable financial, technical strategy, and it's probably a good time to give it another look to take that practice online.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And Renee, I know you guys took Bill.com that way. Did you guys do that from the beginning, or were you into this a little bit before you converted?
It's interesting. I actually went with all of our financial apps first. I guess that's probably just, you know, my general, you know, bias, whatever. So we did, you know, our 401k, our payroll, our accounting, our obviously our bill management. All of that was online in the cloud first. We were using an Exchange server in our office until recently, about 6 months ago. We moved to all the mail services, calendar, and address book up into the cloud. So, you know, we're now the only thing that we have that's not in the cloud are some very detailed product specs that the team is doing internally, you know, on, you know, a package called OmniGrapple that gets shared via email, right? So it's actually not that hard to be all cloud-based except for a few specific, you know, documents, which I imagine accountants will always have their tax software, because it's going to be way more.
Yeah, and, you know, one other thing that I'll just throw in on the side, and I know, you know, where you guys are carrying iPhones, I'm carrying a Verizon Android phone, and I have just been absolutely amazed at the quality of the integration into the Google Apps, as well as the integration into Exchange Server, which I actually consider superior to what's being done on the iPhone. And I've used both products. And if you think about it from that perspective and realize that this handheld instrument has such gorgeous integration, and I can tell you that I used the words phenomenal while showing somebody this past weekend, because I said, look how this works. And I said, let's set yours up end-to-end to set up everything on their Android phone with their existing Microsoft and Google accounts was 12 minutes, because I timed it. And when we watched all of the contacts synchronize and so forth, and then we made some changes, and they just all automatically appeared in all the places. They said, this is unbelievable. And I said, I think it's phenomenal, and I'm a technical guy.
Well, that's an interesting choice because, you know, where I live in southern Indiana, I mean, AT&T is pretty prominent here, but, you know, our service really comes and goes. 3G is not all over the place like it may be in some metropolitan areas, where Verizon seems much more stable here from what everybody says. But, you know, if you have an iPhone, it's not an option.
Yep, not really an option today, although we think that'll change over time. And, you know, when I think about Verizon's marketplace for apps and how that works, you know, the rule of thumb that I use in the Verizon market is if it's successful in the iPhone market, it will be in the Verizon market within usually 4 to 6 weeks max. And as Renee pointed out, the Google Apps marketplace is so much easier to deal with as a developer than the iPhone marketplace. And frankly, I think the Verizon market is easier to deal with than the iPhone, you know, apps marketplace. There's a whole lot of developers that are looking at their code and saying, gosh, let's put it where it's easiest and let's get some reach. And they're not ignoring iPhone, but they're certainly not ignoring these other opportunities at the same time.
Well, guys, we're kind of running out of time today, but Dave, I wanted to hit you again on, you said you guys are looking to move things to the clouds. What kind of security things are you most concerned with as you guys start to make that transition?
Actually, we're very concerned about security and network penetration, which is part of the reason for our move to the clouds. And we're, by the way, also looking at Microsoft's hosted email services. That's a big part of it for us. So we're very pleased with that service. The real reason, I have to say, the reason I joined late today is we were notified today by the Department of Commerce that the grant application I helped write for Page County for a $2 million middle mile solution for broadband in our little mountain valley here has been approved.
Cool for you.
So now I get to spend the next 2 years building a fiber optic network. Probably going to become the county's first chief technology officer. So it's going to be
fantastic.
Interesting challenge and great fun for me. And again, I apologize for being late, but that's what I was up to.
Well, guys, thanks a lot for your time today. Good discussion. This is going to be a fun year to watch and see how this evolves. But, you know, all four of us are very interested in dealing in the clouds at the moment. So that's got to be some sort of an indication of what's going to happen, I think, with the accounting profession this year, too. Randy, would that be your take?
That's exactly my take. I just can't wait for people to come out of busy season and the publishers to announce what they intend to get done during the year.
Yeah, exciting year. Well, thanks, guys, and I want to thank ADP, our corporate sponsor, again. So until next month, guys, have a great month.
You too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. For more information about the CPA Technology Advisors' other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit cpatechnologyadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcasts, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune in to future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via talkshoe.com.